The Ministry does not have the power to expel Hogwarts students, Cornelius, as I reminded you on the night of the 2nd of August, said Dumbledore. Nor does it have the right to confiscate wands until charges have been successfully proven. Again, as I reminded you on the night of the 2nd of August. In your admirable haste to ensure that the law is upheld, you appear inadvertently, I am sure, to have overlooked a few laws yourself. Laws can be changed, said Fudge savagely. Of course they can, said Dumbledore, inclining his head. And you certainly seem to be making many changes, Cornelius. Why, in the few short weeks since I was asked to leave the Wizengamot, it has already become the practice to hold a full criminal trial to deal with a simple matter of underage magic. A few of the wizards above them shifted uncomfortably in their seats. Fudge turned a slightly deeper shade of puce. The toad-like witch on his right, however, merely gazed at Dumbledore, her face quite expressionless. "As far as I am aware, however," Dumbledore continued, "there is no law yet in place that says this court's job is to punish Harry for every bit of magic he has ever performed. He has been charged with a specific offence, and he has presented his defence. All he and I can do now is to await your verdict." Dumbledore put his fingertips together again and said no more. Fudge glared at him, evidently incensed. Harry glanced sideways at Dumbledore, seeking reassurance. He was not at all sure that Dumbledore was right in telling the Wizengamot, in effect, that it was about time they made a decision. Again, however, Dumbledore seemed oblivious to Harry's attempt to catch his eye. He continued to look up at the benches where the entire Wizengamot had fallen into urgent, whispered conversations. Harry looked at his feet. His heart, which seemed to have swollen to an unnatural size, was thumping loudly under his ribs. He had expected the hearing to last longer than this. He was not at all sure that he had made a good impression. He had not really said very much. He ought to have explained more fully about the Dementors, about how he had fallen over, about how both he and Dudley had nearly been kissed. Twice he looked up at Fudge and opened his mouth to speak, but his swollen heart was now constricting his air passages, and both times he merely took a deep breath and looked back at his shoes. Then the whispering stopped. Harry wanted to look up at the judges, but found that it was really much, much easier to keep examining his laces.
"Those in favour of clearing the witness of all charges," said Madame Bones's booming voice.
Harry's head jerked upward. There were hands in the air, many of them, more than half. Breathing very fast, he tried to count, but before he could finish, Madame Bones had said,
"And those in favour of conviction?"
Fudge raised his hand. So did half a dozen others, including the witch on his right, and the heavily moustached wizard, and the frizzy-haired witch in the second row. Fudge glanced around at them all, looking as though there was something large stuck in his throat, then lowered his own hand. He took two deep breaths and then said, in a voice distorted by suppressed rage,
"Very well, very well, cleared of all charges."
"Excellent," said Dumbledore briskly, springing to his feet, pulling out his wand and causing the two chintz armchairs to vanish.
"Well, I must be getting along. Good day to you all."
And without looking once at Harry, he swept from the dungeon.